Melissa in the Morning talks with career strategist and workplace expert Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job. Now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
So the World Health Organization estimates that 85% of people across the globe have a lack of confidence. And our own career strategist on the show says bad self-esteem is a career killer. In fact, national data proves that. It shows that 70% of people will attribute part of their career success to how much confidence they have. And in fact, people with low self-esteem have reported earning $8,000 less per year on average than people who have high self-confidence. So here we go. Mistake number three in the Julie on the Job series of the top five mistakes the average American will make at the workplace. And that is a lack of confidence. So Julie is here to talk about why we naturally don't have the best, you know, version of ourselves in our head. And it translates at the workplace, and advice on how to reverse that if you do struggle with this. Hey, Julie, welcome back.
Good morning. Yeah, I think we all struggle with finding that right balance between being confident enough and being cocky or being overconfident. You know, we all have those people in our lives who, you know, toppers, they one up everything you say. They, you know, are empty suits. We have all kinds of names for that. They're, you know, they talk a good game, but don't deliver. You know, we have a whole lexicon of words and phrases and descriptions for people who overdo it. But I always like to remind people that there's a lot of space between being completely self-deprecating and never, ever speaking positively on your own behalf and being that person that we all try not to be. And so, because, and you know, and I think too, you know, a lot of times as we're growing up, we get told, don't talk about yourself, don't brag. And so we completely shut down and go one way instead of kind of, you know, moving along the spectrum to being able to speak confidently about what is true about ourselves.
I think we also put way too much weight into people's opinions, though, Julie. So when, you know, maybe you grew up in a household where you, you know, felt pretty okay about yourself. Like, I, you know, I'll throw myself under the bus. Why not? So I have two parents who adore their children, but they always kept us in check. We never grew up cocky, ever. But my parents were very securing. They were very good at keeping us level-headed. They let us know what we were good at and what we were not so great at. But they were so great about that, that we felt very confident in pretty much everything we did. I could tell you, though, my lack of confidence in the workplace came when I entered the industry of broadcasting. And you're told by so many different people, you're never going to be on TV. Your voice doesn't work for what you need to do. You're not a great storyteller. You're very unapproachable. Whatever it was. And when you hear a lot of negatives, especially in the beginning of your career, you start to believe it a little too much, and you almost lose yourself a little bit. You let other people sort of define who you are. And so whether it's something that you're right, you grew up in a society where don't talk about yourself or don't give yourself more credit than you need, either it's something that was kind of trained into us at a young age, or you almost have like a PTSD. The second that I even accept a compliment from someone, I still internally feel horrible about it. I don't fully believe it. So how do you reverse that feeling of if somebody compliments you about, hey, you do a great job, or hey, I love what you're doing with this? How do you begin to believe that and sort of break down what is probably false in your head from a lot of past opinions?
You know, just first of all, let's acknowledge that that's a thing. So why do we give other people whom we may not even respect, why do we give them so much power when, you know, their perspective is may not be, you know, they may have an ulterior motive. You know, we need to keep Melissa in her place, or I want that job that Melissa can't have, or they feel like crap about themselves, and so they like to put other people down. We give other people way too much space in our head, and we all do it. I mean, we all do it, and except those people who are so overconfident that you could say, you could point out to something that you witnessed and 100 people witnessed They'd be like, I didn't do that.
Right.
And so we try not to be them. So let's reverse it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we're not good at that we require our clients be really, really good at is that they be able to answer the question, what are you good at? What are you good at? What do people, why does your company keep you around? What I'm giving you various ways to approach this. What are three things that if I hire you, you're going to, I know for sure I'm getting? What are you good at? And even I know I can hear all over your listening audience when I say, what are you good at? You see people kind of cringe. And if you ask people that question, they get this look on their face like, you know, like a deer in the headlights. Like mm-hmm. they can't, I don't.
Like that's the craziest thing you've ever asked me, right?
It's right. Like, they immediately want to go to, well, let me tell you what I'm not good at. And even the simplest thing. So, and women, we do this. Oh, what a cute sweater. Oh, are you kidding? I've had this thing for like 10 years.
Right.
Oh my God.
Just an everyday
thing. Yeah. TJ Maxx.
So true.
$10. So why?
Right?
The first thing around this is to ask yourself, what are you good at? What are you good at? Oh, well, it's a tough question. It shouldn't be such a tough question, but it is. What are you good at that you can start to build your confidence around? And if you're so committed to what other people think, let me go a step further. What do other people compliment you for? What are other people come to you for? What have you been told you're good at? Maybe start there.
Mm. So this is really, to me, this sounds like self-reflection, Julie Bauke.
Unfortunately, all this stuff does.
A lot of hanging out with me, myself, and I. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But it could be very, it seems like very influential on not just the way that you view yourself. And we could certainly talk about this aspect of the story. A lack of confidence, it'll kill you, especially in the workplace. And that is number three in the top five most common mistakes people will make in the workplace. Julie Bauke put this list together, and she's been presenting her series. We do one mistake per week, and certainly we will also at the end of this give you access to where you can get a full list and more right after we wrap up chatting with Julie. So you were just starting to talk, Julie, about just some strategies, some ways that you could do some kind of just some time with you, yourself, and or me, myself, and I sort of thing, where you are trying to just kind of rediscover what you are good at, right? I mean, what would be your advice? Because we were outlining that a lack of confidence really impacts you even beyond the workplace. It impacts you in society, in every facet of your life, in the way that you look at yourself. And there are people who are listening this morning, and they don't love what they're doing. But they feel like this is the best it's going to get at work, because mm-hmm. they don't even think they're capable of anything beyond that. But they've got these dreams sort of hidden very deep in themselves, but they don't believe they can accomplish even a partial part of that. So, you know, what else would you suggest? You know, I love what you had said, though, which is sitting with yourself and really being honest. If you have to be in a room in the dark and there's nobody there, they don't even know you're meeting with yourself, and you get a notebook out, you know, just starting to get honest with yourself. That's a great place to start.
Yeah. And, you know, to tag on to what one of the things you said, too, is the way that this shows up, that it really hurts us. We aren't willing to go for jobs that we'd be great at. We aren't willing to ask for a raise. We don't step up and volunteer to be a part of an exciting project that could really help propel our career, because it is easier to go into the mode that says, this is the best I can do. Well, you know, who do you think you are? I think we say that to ourselves, yet we sit there sometimes and see that people who are less capable than we are seem to get more. Well, part of that, this whole just sit there and do work, just sit there and do a good job, and good things will come to you. They do sometimes, but you're giving way too much power to other people. Mm. So just start with, if you want to start with, here's a few things I'm not good at. I mean, I'm not good at detail. if you put me in charge of managing a project with a lot of details, I'm not going to shine. And I know that about myself. I know that about myself because, first of all, I don't enjoy it, and I'm not good at it. I get easily bored with it, and people don't come to me to do that. Nobody comes to Julie Bauke to manage details. And I have to be okay with that. And I am okay with that, which means that I then don't apply for things or put myself in situations where I have to do a lot of that, because part of this is also learning what to say no to. Mm-hmm. Learning what to say no to, then learning what to say yes to. So if you feel like starting with, here's what other people tell me about myself or what people say I'm good at, and if you want to sometimes ask people, you know, what are the things you come to me for? What are the things when you think of me, what are the adjectives you think of? When people say to you, Melissa, you're so good at this, do you go, oh, no, I'm not. You know, she really doesn't know the real me. You know, and all that kind of self-talk is, you know, it just hurts you so badly. So this all of this begins as an inside job. But if it's more comfortable for you to say, what am I recognized for? What am I complimented for? What do people tell me that, you know, that really resonates with me, and I feel confident when I'm doing this thing, start there.
I was just going to say,
being able to put your words around it.
Thank you for saying that, Julie. So I think sometimes it might feel very intimidating to say, okay, let's sit down and figure out what I'm good at. And people sit there and they're like, nothing. But I think if you change almost just that question, you pivot it. I learned that word from you. If you pivot it just a little bit. So if you were to ask me what I'm good at, I would tell you nothing. However, if you were to ask me what brings me joy, all of a sudden that can be translated into things I'm good at. Now all of a sudden it's a little bit easier for me to say that. So for, you know, example, you know, what I love about this job is that I get to connect with people like you, Julie. I get to learn from people like you. I get to, you know, apply new knowledge to my life, and I get to share it with other people. Well, right there, if, you know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to say, okay, so you're good at talking to people. You're good at asking questions. You're good at being inquisitive. You're good at understanding people, having a heart for people. You're good at learning facts. You're good at sharing that information in an effective way. Now, all of a sudden, you got six skills, and it's like, well, I couldn't have told you that before. So it's even just pivoting the way you ask yourself, what am I good at? You know, maybe instead, what do I like about my job? What do I not like? What do I feel I really kill it? I don't have to say it out loud, but I feel like if you gave me this task, I would smash it. I think maybe just in the way we ask that question of ourselves, we can even find some confidence, just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And it you hit on the two pieces that we talked about before. The career happiness formula is, what are you good at and what do you like to do? We can be good at things and not like to do them. And generally, that's when we're burnt out. But we can also like to do things and not be good at them. And so you have to, like, I think most people love to sing, but they're smart enough to do it with the windows rolled up.
Right.
You know, or I wish I was good at this, but I'm not. And so the more you focus on the things you feel competent while doing, the things you like to do, and also, you know, there is an element of the feedback you get that has to be a part of it. Because I could walk around all day saying I'm a good singer, but I'm not, and nobody would hire me for that. So start with, what are two or three things that people come to you for, or start paying attention to your environment. What do people come to you for? What do people say to you? Oh, you know, so-and-so, you're so good at that. Ask, just stop. Instead of deflecting, stop and say, you know, where's the truth in this? Do I hear this a lot? And I'll tell you something else, Melissa. One of the other traps here is that the things we're really good at a lot of times come to us so naturally that it feels like breathing. I'm like, isn't everybody good at that?
Right. That's so true. That's so true. Yes.
So here's an example. So I can stand up in a group of in front of thousands of people, do a presentation, and not break a sweat.
I can't
not,
do that.
You know,
I'm so bad
well,
at that. No.
Most people can't.
No.
And so it's one of people's number one fears. So I could look at that and say, all right, that's something I'm good at. It's something I get compliments on. It's something I hear back a lot. So it is fair for me to say, that I'm really good presenting at conferences, events, at workplaces, and you know, I'm good at it. I'm great at it, mm-hmm. because that comes from how I feel, and the feedback I get, and the fact that it feels like hand in glove to me. That's not bragging. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. And if you are uncomfortable with stating truths about yourself, you need to get over that, because you're not going to accomplish what you hope to accomplish unless you start to embrace that. And it's never too late.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and I think if we logically look at, you know, comparing something that is confident versus cocky, I think you can sort of feel the difference. I think when you start to look at yourself and what you believe you bring to the table, or what you believe you're capable of, I mean, I think you could see the difference. It's when it becomes a competitive nature, I'm better than you at this, or I am superior to you, or it becomes part of your identity that separates you from your colleagues. All of a sudden, that's not confidence. That's cocky. That's not really going to be effective. That's going to make you not look great. But I think, you know, the average person can probably identify that. But you're right. We just have so messied, if that's even the right way to say it, we've just really messed up the way that we look at having confidence in ourselves and identifying what we're good at. So, you know, just redefining that is very powerful and can have a huge impact.
Just start with one thing. Pick one thing you're good at. Just pick one and live with it. Put it under your pillow.
I'm good at picking a good friend. Her name is Julie Bauke, and I'm so glad she comes on this show every single week and and fixes us. Oh, I tell you, Julie, you are the best. I love this series. Really quick, Julie, if people want to skip ahead to 4 and 5, although we're going to go to 4 next week, if they want to see your outline and learn more about this, what is the best way to reach you?
And catch up.
Yes.
On the last few. Text Career Happy to 888-241-2345. 888-241-2385. There's also a book called The Genius Zone by a guy named Gay Hendricks that is also really, really, really good to help you get clear what you're good at. The Genius Zone.
Okay. All right. Well, Julie, I really appreciate this, and I look forward to going to mistake number 4 next week. But for now, I really appreciate tackling this one. I think it's a really important mistake that we all could probably get a little bit better at. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right. Julie Bauke on Julie on the Job here on WICC.